I want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Bert, and I'm so grateful to have you here today on this wonderful Father's Day. As I'm sure you've heard 100 times, happy Father's Day for all you gentlemen. This morning, I will not be speaking. We have, as was mentioned already, we have a special speaker from within our own family, and I'm so excited to be able to introduce him, Art Buchanan, who, how long have you been with us, my brother? I was thinking 6 to 8 months, something like that. And it's got a lot of wonderful and maybe wonderful, a lot of life experiences. Maybe wonderful isn't the best word all the time, but the Lord worked all things together for good for you. And I'm just so thrilled to have him come and share what the Lord has on his heart for us, especially I'm trusting as spiritual fathers and spiritual parents, folks. All of us have responsibilities in that area. And I just want to encourage you to open your hearts, open your ears to what God has to say for us today through Art. God bless you, brother. Thanks for coming and sharing.
First things first. Lord God, I pray today that you would be glorified, that your heart would be revealed, that I could get out of the way and teach the lessons that you taught me and bring nothing but honor to your name. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled this message, Being a Spiritual Father, but after I gave Donna that title, I was really wishing I'd have said, Being a Spiritual Dad. Because in my heart, a dad is a man who steps up and takes responsibility for the children in his care. It has nothing to do with bloodlines. It has everything to do with heart. So I'm going to talk to you a bit about what God has taught me about being a spiritual dad. I'm going to start by talking about some of the things I learned with my own family. And then hopefully I'm going to move on a little bit to some of the things God has shown me for dealing with others. There's a lot of papers here, but it's gigantic print. The first time I ever spoke before a crowd, I could read print that small from 5 feet away. Those days are gone. When I was a new believer, I had a 3-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old son. But it was a new experience. My meeting with God, or my coming to know Jesus, was a very profound experience. And because of that, I wanted very badly for my kids to get to know the Jesus that I had just begun to know. But I also knew that I was unqualified. I felt unworthy. I felt very ill-equipped to be the kind of influence that I knew that they needed. So I decided to give them back to God. It wasn't a formal ceremony. It was just the decision in my heart. Lord, they're yours. Please help me to continue to see them as yours. Help me to continue to be their caregiver and their spiritual leader, but to always remember that they're yours. I felt God telling me that before I could do them any lasting good, my heart had to be in the right place first. Now, that doesn't mean I've ever been perfect. I've made mistakes. But I learned that when you repent before God, you apologize before your family, you're sincere, but then you move on. You can't sit there and dwell on it. You move on. So how do you get prepared? 1 Corinthians 6:19 says that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, another thing that I've learned through experience is that the Holy Spirit has trouble flowing in a contaminated temple. It's important to keep the temple clean. It's kind of like a clogged drain pipe. If you got all kinds of junk in the drain pipe, nothing is going to flow through it the way it's supposed to. But if you get in there and you clean that junk out, then it flows. And trust me, as I was starting to try to raise small children in a godly way, I needed all the Holy Spirit I could get. I had to learn to give him full control. Now, as I said, because my initial experience was so profound, I started hearing from the Holy Spirit on day one. Maybe because I really didn't have anybody else to disciple me. You'd have to know my testimony, but it was a little on the brutal side. And a lot of people, after I said that I had become a believer, didn't believe me. They thought, there's no way this guy can change. So the Holy Spirit became my discipler from a very, very early age. And I honestly believe that I benefited from that because there was no one there to talk me out of the truth. And believe me, taking two small children to church for the first time was quite an experience. There were a few people there in the first church I was ever in. There were a few people there who were more interested in showing their spiritual superiority than they were in helping a new believer get his feet firmly planted. Fortunately for me, from the beginning, God gave me a strong sense of discernment. I could just know in my spirit when something was off. The very first church I walked into with my kids, the very first day there, partway through the service, two deacons walked up. One grabbed me by each arm and started marching me to the front. My kids didn't know what was going on. They're sitting in the chairs, absolutely bawling, because they just hauled Dad away. Now, in their mind, what they were doing is they were taking me up front to get me the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they yelled at me, and they prayed, and they shook me, and they did every manner of everything. And the more they did that, the louder my kids cried. You got to believe that that was a serious conversation that I had to have with my kids when I finally did get back to them and explain to them that, you know, while these men might be had the right intentions, they maybe didn't quite go about it the right way. Try not to judge, but by the same token, explain very clearly. It was very important for me also to know the Word of God. John 14:26. Could I have that, please? But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, the question that popped into my mind was, how can he bring to remembrance what isn't there? So it was very important for me to get into the Word. And I started from day one, and I was hungry. And I didn't have any Bible teachers or any commentaries or anything else to go by. So I started at Genesis, and I just started going through the Word. And as I went along, the Holy Spirit would point out certain things, and I'd highlight them in my Bible. And I'd go through it. Eventually, I pretty much destroyed my first Bible. But by that time, I had a relatively good hold on things. The other thing that was very important for me was to constantly, in prayer, keep them before the Lord. Because eventually there would come a day when they would make their own decisions And I had to know that I had planted enough seeds that they would do the right thing. They would hopefully make the right decision. Now, my daughter, oh, I missed something here. Sorry. The other thing that was important was to make sure that I knew what was going into their heads, in their ears, in their hearts. Know what was being fed to them, what shows they were watching, and so on. Now, when my kids were little, because my oldest is 45 now, so when my kids were little, it was a little easier to do than it is today. I can't even imagine what it's like for you parents today to try to be able to control the input of stuff that was going in. The other problem that I had was I had to be able to watch what was put into them in church as well. As an example, one Sunday morning, my two kids came up from Sunday school with these pieces of paper, just happy as a clam. And on these pieces of paper, it says, your son / daughter has given their heart to Jesus. And I said, oh, okay, that's good. And I turned to them, I said, do you know what this means? And my daughter says, no, they just told us if we put our name on this piece of paper, we could have celery with peanut butter and raisins on it. So I had to sit down and explain to them that there was a little bit more to it than celery with peanut butter and raisins. When I did that, my daughter immediately, that's what I want to do, Dad. So I helped her come into a relationship with the Lord. My son, a couple of weeks later, he come up and he says, you know, Dad, I think that's what I want to do too. My daughter, now 45, has never turned away from the Lord. At about 6 years old, she gave her heart to the Lord, and she has been steadfast ever since. She told me one time, Dad, I really wish that I had a testimony. You have such a good testimony. And I told her, you got a testimony that I can't ever have. You know, when all the teenage crap came along, she remained faithful. As a young woman and all the pressures on a young woman, she remained faithful. In university, she remained faithful. She's faithful to this day. You can't get a better testimony than that. That is the power of God in someone's life. I only wish I had that at her age. My son, well, he went through a period. And one day he come to me and he said, Dad, I'm sorry, but I just don't believe what you believe. That night, I was supposed to go and lead a prayer meeting. But instead, I was on the floor, on my knees, an absolute mess, in absolute pain. I wasn't much help to the prayer meeting, but I guess they seemed to understand. And I poured my heart out to God, and I said, Lord, I'm lost. I'm broken. Where to now? And unfortunately, I let that pain push me away from some of the aspects in my son's life that I didn't approve of. I fully believed that I was right. I believed deep down inside that I couldn't associate with certain aspects of his life. And then one day the Lord, and this was almost 2 years ago, to my shame, one day the Lord said to me, Art, when I got a hold of you, did I show you mercy or did I show you judgment? And again, I broke. He taught me that I needed to put mercy and grace ahead of judgment. Now, I apologize. I have done what I can to build a relationship with him. And it's a good relationship now. But I can't help but wonder what it would have been like if I, in the first place, had chosen grace instead of judgment. To this day, both of those kids are always in my prayers before the Lord. They are always a priority when it comes to getting on my knees and asking for what I believe I want. And I guess that humbling that I took was a part of my growing as well. Now, I've been a Christian this October be 42 years. So I've been a believer a long time. And during that time, the Lord has used me to pour his love into a number of people. But you know, when I was first a believer, I was still hurting. I was damaged. You'd have to know my whole story. But I didn't have that kind of love in me. But God started bringing people to me one at a time who were hurting, who were broken, who were struggling. And I had to rely on the Holy Spirit because, I just didn't have that kind of love in me. I didn't even know what that kind of love was really about until the Holy Spirit started to pour through me the love that he wanted to go to some of these other people. He began to speak to my heart, and he said, Art, I want you to minister one-to-one. And I, foolishly, I told him my plans. You see, when I was first a believer, because my testimony was a little on the brutal side, there were a number of churches who would call and ask me to come and talk to their young people. They didn't really want me to preach to them. They basically wanted me to scare them, you know, tell them all kinds of nasty things and hopefully they'll turn their life around and, you know, not speak any truth into their life, just talk about what the devil is capable of. And I thought, okay, this means I'm going to be an evangelist. So I told the Lord, well, I don't have time to talk to one person at a time. I'm going to be an evangelist. As soon as I did that, the phone stopped ringing. Instantly, bang, it's over. And then he began bringing people to me, one by one. People who were struggling, people who were hurting. People telling me things that I couldn't even imagine. I thought I had a rough upbringing. Some of the stories that I heard would just absolutely break your heart. And the Lord just kept bringing me these people, one at a time, one at a time. And it got to the point where I felt that I had to be prepared for anything because you just never knew what you were going to hear next. Could I have John 7:38, please? Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. When I read that, I knew that's what I needed. If I was going to be any help to these people at all, I needed the Holy Spirit, the life of God and the power of God flowing through me to touch them. There was no point in giving them Art's opinions. Art's opinions were useless. The only benefit that I was going to have to these people is to teach them how and where to find the true healer. And that's what the Holy Spirit put on my heart so strongly. Can I have 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2, please? And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, Paul was talking about demonstrations of God's power, a simple gospel and the demonstration of God's power. And I learned that as I dealt with these people, complicated theories and whatever else was going to do them no good. They needed to know a very simple truth. They needed me to point them to the healer, to the caregiver, to the one who is going to uphold them and break all of the things that they've had in their lives off of them. And you know, when I came to that realization, the floodgates opened. I was preparing to go to church one Sunday morning, and I got a phone call from a lady who had many times in the church, she had referred to me as her mentor. That morning, she called me up and said, "You have 15 minutes to talk me out of committing suicide." I said a very simple prayer, same one I said this morning, "Lord, help." And the Holy Spirit helped me. And I don't even remember all the scripture that I told her, but it just came pouring out of me, helping her to see herself the way God sees her. That she is a daughter of God, that she is loved by God, that she has been made whole and holy because of the presence of God. To my knowledge, that lady is still alive today. She has children, grandchildren. I think there might even be a great-grandchild there now. In another case, I was in a prayer meeting at this church that I was at, and this gentleman that had never come to our prayer meetings, we had prayer meetings on Thursday evenings, and this gentleman had never come to the prayer meetings. I'd never even seen him in church. And he came in, and he sat in the chair next to me, and as soon as he sat in the chair next to me, the Holy Spirit told me this man just had the worst day he's ever had in his life. So as we were continuing to pray, there was a sort of a lull in the prayer, and I turned to him and I said, "Well, the Holy Spirit just told me that you've just had the worst day in your life. Would you like to talk about it?" And he broke on the spot. His wife, for several years, had talked to him about the fact that he needed to come to know Jesus. When he did finally have an encounter with Jesus, he was all in. He was sold out. He was full of the Spirit. He was gung-ho. And it was too much for her. So she decided that she needed a divorce. And he found out just a few hours before that prayer meeting that she had already started divorce proceedings. For the next year and a half, we met. We would have coffee. We might have a meal. Coffee or a meal or something at least once a week, and numerous phone calls for over a year and a half, trying to help him stay strong in his faith, not give up, and still face the things that he needed to face. And after about a year, and I dealt with him like this for about a year and a half, and then I didn't hear from him for a year. And one day I got a phone call, and he said, "Art, would you come to my wedding? I have met a God-fearing woman." God had done his thing. You know, you can only do so much, and then you have to trust that God is going to do the rest. And that's what he did. And then in this guy's life, God turned everything around. And he is still a gung-ho, Spirit-filled believer, and he touches people everywhere that he goes. There was another lady in one church that I was at, and I was helpful. I was preaching the one Sunday, and she gave her heart to the Lord. And one day she came to me, and she said, "I've met this man. He's a great man." And I said, "Okay." But I felt the Holy Spirit telling me to remind her not to be unequally yoked, to make absolutely certain you know where this man is spiritually before you go ahead. And she did that. She went to him and she said, "No, it's not going any further until I know where your spirit is." Well, a few months later, he gave his heart to the Lord. And a little while later, they got married. No sooner were they married, he began to try to beat the Christianity out of her. You got to know that that involved some serious conversations, some real broken hearts, some real trust issues. But eventually, she found it in herself to do what was right. She had the man arrested. I helped her to learn to forgive herself and to be able to move on. In another church I was in, there was a young lady who came to church every Sunday drunk. One day, the pastor told her, "You can't come back anymore if you're going to come back drunk." And that started a series of phone calls that lasted probably 2.5 years. Sometimes she'd call drunk. Sometimes she'd come call all hours of the night. Most of the time she was crying. She was struggling. She was hurting. And through the Holy Spirit's leading and helping me to say the right words and to do the right things, eventually she got into a program where she turned her life around. One of the more heartbreaking ones for me was a woman in our church who came to me one day and she said, "Art, you know my son?" And I said, "Yeah." "He respects you." And I said, "Okay, that's good. He's gotten back into the meth again. Would you speak to him?" And I went, I talked to him, and for weeks I prayed with him, and I prayed with him, and I prayed with him. And you know what? The Lord got a hold of him again. And he turned his life around. And I know that I know that I know that he turned his life around. But 2 weeks later, he died of a heart attack. His body just couldn't handle the abuse that he'd put himself through. But I knew, and his mother knew, where he was at that point. There was absolutely no doubt in our minds that God had got a hold of this young man and taken him home. Sometimes you get to see the victories. Sometimes they just move on and you don't hear from them again, and you just have to trust that God has done what God needs to do. You just have to leave them in his hands. But every now and then you get to see a victory. And there have been many, but there's one that always sticks out in my mind. One church I was at, they called it worship night, and it was aimed at the teens mostly. And it was designed to just draw them into a closer relationship with the Lord. But the assistant pastor asked me if I would come to put a prayer covering over the gathering and to be available if someone needs prayer. And I said, "Sure, yes, I would do that." And the one night, this little girl, petite little girl, I'm guessing 13 or 14, came to me and she said, "Would you pray with me?" And I said, "Absolutely. What do you need prayer for?" And she said, "My mother is so emotionally messed up that today my dad packed it up and left." I prayed for her that night. I prayed for her probably a couple of other nights. And then I never saw her again for a long time, probably a couple, 3 months. But while I was praying for her, I encouraged her, "If you can, please bring your mother to our Thursday evening prayer meetings, because the power of God is strong there. She needs to see the strength and the power of God. Please, if you can, bring her." And she said, "I will. I'll try to get her there." 2 or 3 months later, it was a Thursday evening. It was a cold February night. Prayer meeting's about half over, and I hear the door open. And in walks this girl with her mother, arm in arm. I know it was a last-minute decision because her mother was wearing one of those onesie pajamas and a winter coat over it. So it was not something that was well-planned. It just finally got to the point where enough was enough. And as soon as I walked in the door, I turned to the other people at the prayer meeting and I said, "I know what this is about. Would you please pray around us while I talk to her?" And we sat knee to knee on chairs, knee to knee, and I held her hands. And she told me some of the most horrendous stories you can imagine of things that had gone on in her life. And again, all I could do is say, "Lord, help. Lord, help." And I don't think I said anything terribly profound, except maybe this one thing, is that I knew from personal experience that God wanted to take away that pain and that he had the ability to take away that pain, but she had to want to let it go. And we kept talking and holding hands, and I would say these little prayers, and she would just keep telling me stories. Then all of a sudden, I noticed something in her eyes. It was almost like a light came on, and she started to smile. Then she started to laugh. Then she started to hug her daughter. And the two of them walked out of there hugging and laughing and crying and praising God. I don't know what all went on there, but I know something broke. Something broke. It was absolutely 100% positive in my mind that something broke. A couple of months later, this little girl came into worship night again. She walked up and she hugged the stuffing out of me. She said, "My mom has changed so much that today my dad moved back home again." Those are the kind of things, and those are only just a few of the things, that I've seen the Father heart of God deal with in the lives of others. And I'm grateful that I got to kind of be the conduit. Nothing more. But the Holy Spirit chose me for some reason to flow through me into these lives. Many of them were changed. Some of them were not. But you know, eventually everybody that I dealt with would just quit calling because they had finally learned to call on the Lord themselves. And I realized that really the job is the same, whether you're talking about a parent or whether you're talking about this type of an influence, your job is to work yourself out of a job. And when they stop calling, when they start learning that they can go directly to God for what they need, you have done your job. Thank you for listening.
It's nice to get to know some folks a little bit better, right? And so grateful for what God has done in your life and for sharing that. Yeah, folks, I don't know where we're all at, where you're all at, right? But wonderful testimony of what God does, who he is. Because what he does comes out of who he is. He's love. He is a loving, perfect father. And maybe that's what you need in your life. You're like, you know what, I've never had that. Well, he invites you to come to him and to, I guess you'd say, give him a try, because he is good. And he has made a way for you to know him. It's not by doing a bunch of this and that, don't do this, do that, those type of things. He came in the form of Jesus Christ, the Bible says. He came, God himself came to lay down his life for you, to get rid of all those things, to deal with all the junk in our lives, all the things that we've done to mess up our lives, to put us at odds with God. And he said, all you have to do is receive me and I will receive you. So you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, walk with him and follow him, just, and he'll speak to you just like Art was saying. Because he cares. He wants to guide and direct you. He wants you to live the best life you could ever dream. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you want to take that step of faith today, take a step. Okay, God, I'm going to try this. I'm going to do this. I need you. If we could bow our heads together, folks, I'm just going to lead you in a quick prayer. And if that's you today, just pray along with me. Dear God, I need that. I need you. Thank you that you want me. And thank you for sending Jesus to take care of all the things that I've done that have displeased you. Lord, I want to live my best life ever. I want to live your way. So please receive me as your child, because I want you as my loving Heavenly Father. Lord, I don't understand this all, but I'm taking a step of faith today to trust in you and allowing you to lead and guide me from now on. Thank you. Thank you for all that you do, all that you are, and that you actually want me to be with you forever. And so I give you my life today. Take it. Make what you want out of it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you did pray that prayer, folks, for the first time, if you could fill out one of those Connect cards that Donna mentioned earlier, that'd be great. I do have some material I'd love to share with you. And if you're online, it's linked to the video stream as well. With that,